Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Hi there, this is Sharon Hoskins. Thanks so much for joining us today as Janie and I look at what it means to be a warrior, to join in the army of the Lord, and to dig in to some boot training. And all of that is going to take us being strong and very courageous. And of course, we're going to have to persevere. James chapter 1, verse 12 says, "Blessed is the man that perseveres under trial, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life." So join in the conversation as we discover how blessed are those who persevere. I want to take some time today to encourage the church, because I think there's some believers who are feeling overwhelmed and maybe even a little lost about what it is that they can do. So what can we as believers do to stand for our rights as Americans in the gift that God has given us in the Constitution, and at the same time, allowing God to be God through us and being His co-workers?
Well, let's address the first thing you said. What do we do about our rights? In a day of evil, when we are going to be living in a nation under God, we really have to take all of the rights that God has given us through the Constitution and through other gifts, and we have to submit them back to Him. And our only right when it comes down to the bottom line is our right of being a child of His and letting Him use us. Now, knowing the gifts He's given us in the Constitution should instill in us the heart of being a warrior.
Right.
All right, because there is a place and time to where we are exhorted to defend. And then we always have to balance Scripture with Scripture, Sharon. And so let's just say that in our defending our rights, we need to know how do we defend our rights. And that is that the Scripture has basically given us some really good insights, Sharon, in 2 Timothy chapter 2.
Okay.
And I know we spent some time last week in chapter 3, and that really helped us know how to see the deceptive tactics and knowing that God says He can deliver us out of all the afflictions. And then also in chapter 3, it also tells us that we have been given the Scripture for everything that we need for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, in being able to declare the gifts that we can call constitutional rights that He's given us. And it looks to me, as I compare these two chapters, that He is preparing us to know how to use the Scriptures as a warrior.
Okay.
Now, there are times that the gospel is used as warfare in bringing the lost out of darkness. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me except the Father draw him. Okay? So there's different ways the Scripture can be used, whether it's for reproof, correction, instruction, or righteousness. I think right now the Scripture can be used for instruction in what you're talking about, and that is to prepare us as a warrior.
Okay.
If you are not a student of the Word, then it's like you're going to try to go to warfare without ever having boot training camp.
So we just need to be a student of the Word. That's our next step.
That's the next step. And okay. Then to...
So like when a war is going on, people don't, if they decide to enlist, they don't go straight to the battlefield. They go to training. And so if you find yourself in that position, then the first thing you need to do is get into the Word and strengthen yourself there.
That would be the first point. And then you would only be able to probably do that if your heart is ready to be in a point of full surrender. Can you imagine the inductees into any branch of the service saying, "Oh, okay, I'm going to sign up and wake me up about 9 and I'll go in and start doing the training and climbing over the walls with the ropes." Mm-hmm. And but then I'd like to also have a little time out to just hang out with my friends around noon and have some lunch. And then if I need to crawl on my stomach in the afternoon, well, we'll try a little bit of that. I mean, you don't think that company commander would not dress that soldier down and say, "I need you to have your whole self put in. I need a full surrender."
So when you go to the Scriptures,
go to your heart too?
Start with a heart. Okay. I mean, our woman to woman's basic verse is guard your heart, because out of that proceed all the issues of life.
That's right.
So make sure you're willing to be fully surrendered. And and again, we spoke last week, and we're going to keep reminding people, Psalms 19, Lord, if I'm blind someplace, show me my hidden faults.
Right.
If I'm presumptuously assuming or presuming upon your grace and what you have called me to, let me know so that I can stand blameless for you. Then when that full surrender, body, soul, and spirit, is willing to be activated, and we quit trying to give the Lord cherry-picking Christianity, Lord, I'll let you have this, but right away I'm going to...
Right.
You know, and Sharon, I just thought of something. We have it, I think, posted on our resources. This might be a good time for Christians to go back and read the article about My Heart, Christ's Home.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that would help people recognize maybe where some of their blindness is hanging out that's caused them to fear.
Okay.
And again, I want to say, if you are fearful right now, your faith is being used in vain, and you're not going to have the strength to fight the battles you may be called to. You need a strong faith in an absolute sovereign God. So with that little disclaimer, let's just go back and read a couple of things that is said in 2 Timothy 2.
Okay.
And he says, the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men or women who will be able to teach others. So there needs to be an objective here with, let's say, the new, I'm going to use the old term, the new normal, which is not going to be normal, but which we are called to operate under now. So we're going to need to have the mindset that we just don't want to take in the good news to make me feel good and give me comfort, which the scriptures will do that. But I have a responsibility and a privilege then to think about how to teach others.
Well, and I think that it's important to redefine that comfort.
Good point.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
The scriptures do comfort you, but it's not always...
It can give you hope. It doesn't just necessarily give you an emotional...
Exactly. There you go.
Okay. And a lot of people say, if I feel good emotionally, I am good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the biggest lies that the enemy is sending to us. But in verse 3, it says, you therefore must endure hardship. So I don't, and I'm going to give you a vivid picture. There is no sitting around with a lollipop or a candy bar and saying, I feel good, and so I'm going to endure this hardship. That mindset doesn't go together.
Right. Okay.
You might have some very lean rations. You may be like a soldier sleeping on the ground, but you know, you endure the hardship because a soldier of Jesus Christ is equipped to be able to do that when they are fully surrendered. And then it says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Now, here is a verse that we use as a safety zone to go back to our house, close the door, turn off TV.
And stick our head in the sand.
And read the Bible for just telling Jesus how great he is.
Right.
All
okay,
right? Okay, now, telling Jesus how great he is and reading the Bible, I'm all for.
Yes.
Okay. But it says that no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Well, Sharon, the affairs of this life are the temporal, worthless, meaningless pleasures and activity that we can never take with us into eternity. They will never pass the judgment seat of Christ. Mm-hmm. They will be burned by fire. Now, I'm not talking about your salvation. I'm talking about the fruit of the life that you choose to live here.
Right.
And this chapter tells us we're to be living in these days as a warrior.
Okay, so what's the difference between those sorts of things and just being aware of what's going on around you?
Well, as a soldier, then I have a responsibility for many things. I have a responsibility to what my company commander has told me to do. And then I need to know that I'm just not out there on the sand dunes or in the jungles for my own protection. I'm there for my buddy.
Okay.
When we're in the trenches, we are there to cover for one another.
Okay.
No man liveth unto himself, all right, unless it's just a selfishness. So as a warrior, I need to be in tune to what the Lord is saying at this point. And by the way, A company commander does not give all of his executions to all the soldiers all at the same time. Just like if you're a sports fan, does the coach on the sidelines just give all of his plays to the quarterback and then go back and sit on the bench and say, okay, work it out, quarterback? No, he's attentive with every play. He may be calling in plays from the sidelines. He may be talking to him on his headset. They're working together as a team for a common goal, and that's to win the victory.
Right.
So a soldier is, number one, going to be listening to the CO, going to be trusting, and our CO is Jesus Christ, not expecting the CO to tell us everything. He's not going to light the runway. He's going to give us a light one step at a time. He's going to ask us to have our heart fully surrendered and pure and have a heart of love. As a soldier, love gets tested many different ways, but a soldier is willing to lay down his life for his buddy.
So also as soldiers, when you are training for battle, you also have to know what the enemy tactics are. So when you're being trained to be a warrior, part of that is knowing what's going on around you.
Yes, and now you made me think of a very good point there, Sharon. I'm glad you said that. Many times the enemy's strategy is to throw a decoy or a deterrent. So he will create something that is very scary, okay, like a landmine.
Okay.
All right.
Uh-huh.
And that will be what you focus on. Whereas what the enemy is actually trying to do is to get you to dishonor your company commander. Can you be fearful? Can you be retreating? Can you overreact to something?
And the landmine gets you focused on what's in front of you when the enemy's coming up behind.
Thank you. Very good insight. So we have to realize that the enemy has one idea, and that is to destroy anything that has to do with Christianity and Jesus Christ.
Okay.
So he will use subtle tactics. I have learned that when you talk about the wiles of the enemy, you don't necessarily look at what's right up front. You look for the subtleties that would draw your heart, your mind, your commitment off of the character of Christ and what he has done at the cross, what he continues to do. He tells us not to fear that he's gone back to make mansions for us, and don't let your heart be troubled.
Right.
All right. So the enemy will get your heart troubled on something temporal, so that you won't see what he's trying to do in a destructive force for the eternal. But it will always, Sharon, have to do with a relationship. Stop and think, is there anything I'm doing or not doing right now that dishonors the Father's character, his name, who he is as a person?
Oh, that's good.
Because the most important thing that we need to concentrate on is our personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have any idea how many churches, and I've been in churches now for 70 years, how many churches see Jesus Christ as, Lord, and I don't want to say this sacrilegiously, but as a one-time performer? Jesus Christ came to the world to save us from our sins. Yes. To forgive us. Yes. And now that he's done that, he's gone back to heaven. Well, we'll see him in about another 70 or 80 years.
Okay.
And it's like we don't engage in him on a daily dependence. We don't engage upon him in knowing that he must meet every need. Romans 11:36, all things are by, through, to, and for the Lord Jesus Christ. He has to have preeminence. He has to have focus. And we kind of see him as a tool from our toolbox that got us out of hell and into heaven.
Right.
And now we are free to live our life here according to the affairs of this world.
Okay. Okay.
Does that start to put it into perspective?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then it talks about that if anyone competes, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules.
And we cheaters never win.
And there's
and winners never cheat.
Good. I like that one. We'll have to put that in our toolbox. So it's about a person. It's about a relationship. And some of the most painful people are those that are lonely, alone. Mm-hmm. we have to reach out in a special way during this time of COVID and uncertainty to those that are living alone.
Right.
Those of us that are married, right. Even if we are preoccupied and maybe don't have the most enjoyable marriage right now, we do have that privilege of having someone else in the mm-hmm. house with us. In fact, I'm not going to call any names, but one precious, precious lady arrived at church Sunday, and we don't close our doors. Our doors are never closed. We do encourage people that if they are COVID sensitive or uncertain about things, that they are welcome to listen online. But she just said, I just had to come. It's been 3 weeks and I have been all alone. Mm-hmm. I have not seen anyone.
Right.
And there was really none of us there except the music team and the pastor and maybe somebody on the soundboard.
But it makes a big difference.
But she just needed mm-hmm. to be in the presence of family. Mm-hmm. And she was delighted and she was delightful. Just because she needed to be near family,
right,
and
right.
we forget about the extra burden those that are living alone
right.
are facing during this time. So being a good soldier, then we need to take special responsibility to checking on those that may be alone. We need to cover our brother and sister's backside. Because okay. they're really in a trench of loneliness.
Right.
And that's
okay.
part of the warrior's calling.
Okay.
And then we just have to get used to the idea that we may need to put on a life vest to protect our heart. You know, we've got to keep watching that our heart is protected at all times. Yeah. And again, we're in Ephesians 6, the helmet of salvation, all right? Mm-hmm. We need to make sure we've got our
armor.
And
guarding our gates so that our heart does not get depraved, deceived.
Right. But a lot of times we don't realize how vulnerable our brothers and sisters can be if we don't have the heart of a warrior.
Okay.
But a heart of a warrior is always looking out for its fellow man and always listening to the company commander's orders without making the company commander explain everything that he's
why
doing.
Why he's doing it.
Yes.
Right. Okay. That's a good point because, you know, I hear a lot of why.
Well, the thing of it is what he has done, he's given us everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness and warfare right now. And that is 2 Peter, the first chapter.
And I think it's wonderful because it really is in the midst of adversity that we really find spiritual growth, that we do rise up and find the courage to seek the scriptures and look in our hearts and see what's there that we have succumbed to. And so I found that when I went through cancer, that the Lord just really allowed me in that adversity to find things that I never knew were there that had been with me my whole life. And really had kind of plagued me and had been some of the basis for some of my huge failures in decisions.
Well, I can give a personal testimony to say that I had the privilege of getting to know you before cancer. And you were a woman dedicated. You loved your Lord. You wanted to work 24/7. You had enthusiasm and you were ready to pick up and get on an airplane and go to remote parts of another part of this world, not having a clue on how you were going to get to point A to point B. And I know I was sitting there one day just shuddering and thinking, Lord, you've got to take care of this woman because she loves you so and she doesn't have a clue what she's getting ready to get herself into. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, the Lord canceled your trip.
With cancer.
Yes. But once again, I will repeat your own words when you said, and if you haven't gone through this, people, you won't understand Sharon's word, but if you have, it will be sweet music. And that is, cancer was the best gift that God ever gave me, apart from the sun, obviously. Mm-hmm. But you grew deep. You were more sober, but you didn't lose your joy, Sharon. Yeah. But when you spoke, there was a different look from your eyes. There was a slowness in how you made your choices. You just didn't flip off and say, okay, let's do this. Okay, you thought about it.
I've got some mature trees in my yard. And it is almost impossible to pull those trees out of the ground.
Mm.
I mean, the roots just go so deep and so wide that the only way to get it out of your yard is to cut it down and grind it up, grind up the roots and kill the root system. That's it.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
Okay, so you take a sapling that's just been planted, and it's easy to just go pull it up. You know, I've got a bunch of those that grow in my fence line, and we can just go pull them up so they don't grow into big trees. And so that's what adversity did for me. It helped me stop being busy, get quiet, and just hear the Lord. You know, I'm not saying that God gave me cancer or every illness or adversity is God, but everything that we go through in Scripture that says what Satan means for evil, God can turn to good.
Yep.
And so every situation, everything, we can learn a lesson. And in that adversity, that's what I learned, that I could dig down deep and allow those roots to grow. And one other thing I want to point out is that the faith of a mustard seed, you know, we talk about just having a little bit of faith, but in other places in Scripture, Jesus says, "Oh, ye of little faith." So what does he mean by this little faith as a mustard seed? Did you know that when you plant that mustard seed, it becomes a huge tree?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where birds can come and nest, and where you can find shade to rest under. I mean, that's the faith that we're talking about. Not a little bitty, teeny tiny faith. We're talking about a faith that is planted in the ground, that is nurtured, watered, fed, and allowed to grow through the Scriptures to build and get those roots deep into the ground to grow up and have branches for others to rest on.
Now, there is a principle in everything that you're saying, and that is a lot of times people believe that they can produce their own faith if they just trust enough, if they just try, if they work harder. Your faith must have an object. And this story is older than probably time itself, but we talk about when you sit down in a chair, you make the assumption, because you have tested the chair, that it will do what it's supposed to do, mm-hmm. and that's to hold you. It becomes the object of your trust, this mm-hmm. chair. Well, the object of our trust is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Now, if I've never sat down in a chair and I'm thinking, okay, this chair will hold me, but it's never been tested, what if it's got a couple of weak legs and I collapse, you see? So I've got to know that the object I'm putting my trust in mm-hmm. is solid. And that's why you and I keep saying solid foundation. Have a foundation that will stand the test of time.
Get into your word.
And so how can you have faith without fear? Unless your faith is in an object that cannot fail you.
That's right.
All right.
I will never leave you nor forsake
you.
That's right.
All right.
That's what he said.
So no matter, you know, and I understand the fear of the unknown that could cost pain and suffering. I've lived overseas too many times and had my life threatened that I'm mm-hmm. aware of what that can do to your stomach acid.
And you have a new phrase that you're using.
It's called trembling trust. Lord, in my natural man, I'm trembling at what I'm looking at. But in that uncertainty and that perplexity, my nervous system can tremble.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something that goes deeper than my nervous system. And that is faith and trust in a proven God that has proven to me for 75 plus years that he's faithful. And I've got 6,000 years at least of recorded history, not to mention the numerous times that he says, before the foundation of the world, I planned you and I formed you and I called you.
For such a time as
this. And so he constantly lets you know that he's been active in your own personal life.
Right.
He's been weaving the tapestry of your life before the foundations of the world. Can you trust him? Absolutely.
That's right. I love it. Well, that's all the time we have for today, Janie. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for joining us for Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again or for Bible study resources, go to SharonHearts.org. That's SharonHearts.org.